and thank you for joining me today. This is Mindy McNeil, and I am joined in studio because on Wednesday, October 23rd, starting at 9:30 a.m. over at the St. Cajetan's Event Center on the Auraria campus, Dr. Ricardo Carrillo will be here to present Weaving Medicines, La Cultura Todavía Cura. And so here speaking is Dr. Ramon del Castillo from Metro. He is the professor of Chicana and Chicano Studies Department over at Metro. And then we also have Charlene Barrientos. Did I say right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Charlene Barrientos. She is a curandera. And so they are here to give their expert information and everything else and just to discuss the event. So thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, okay, a couple things. So with Dr. Carrillo coming, he's been with the National Latino Alliance for the Elimination of Domestic Violence, and he's also been a director of health. And I think that this is kind of important because, you know, it had been mentioned that this is coming at a time when America is seeking out mental health strategies, healing strategies to deal with violence in our educational institutions. And I think I'd like to talk maybe something about that, because how is dealing with the violence in the educational institutions and mental health, what are the correlations here and how did this come to be?
Well, if I might, Doctor, the intriguing concept that he brings is that, one, he was trained in Western psychology, and with all of the variations of the clinical therapies, and he stepped out of that space, and he became a curandero, and so what he does is he talks about blending Western psychology and curanderismo, which is the art and healing of indigenous healing that we practice, and what I think he's done is he's built a bridge mm-hmm. between the two that he uses in his practice, which happens to be with a lot of gangs and a lot of youth in Oakland, California. That's where he's coming from. I had the opportunity to work with him in racial healing, and so he's really skilled in terms of combining the two. What he's going to be talking about is comparing and contrasting the two modalities and helping folks that are trained in Western psychology understand that there are alternative methods of healing that we have in our community that haven't particularly been recognized. So we're trying to create an awareness of that, and certainly violence, the issue of violence. He's involved in domestic violence, and he's going to be talking about how he blends the two therapies to provide, to help people heal themselves in the process.
For Denver and in Colorado, is there, a great need for this, or that we just don't know about, that's not a light shed on that? Charlene, what do you think?
So as part of the event, we are going to have local healers there as well, because you're bringing up an excellent point. And as Dr. Carrillo comes and he's going to be the keynote, we have to really make sure that we maximize the local healers, because people come, they present, and then they leave, and then what is our community health? You know, where do they go? So there are healers in Colorado, actually, and folks who come, like Dr. Carrillo, to share their information and to somewhat open the door to in Western medicine, right? So for some people, these are considered alternative healing practices, like Ramon has talked about. We also consider them, for us, traditional healing. And the modalities that we have used have been, they're generations old, and we're still here, right? So,
I ran a specialty clinic from 1980 to 1993 and had the opportunity to be mentored by a curandera. Her name was Diana Velasquez, and I think she helped build a bridge and an understanding.
She did.
But at one time, mm-hmm. it was underground. Our healing strategies, people went to the homes, and it was kind of kept quiet because people saw it as witchcraft and a variety of other names. So what she was able to do is go into a mental health center and practice her healing and have it become accepted by psychiatrists and doctors, and then eventually institutionalizing what she did within that clinic. So she, in a sense, helped open that door. Here in the last 10 years, it's starting to come out from underground, and people are beginning to realize that we have our medicine, mm-hmm. and that we should have the right to use that medicine in working with the people that we work with. So there's a nice long history of that goes way back to before the conquest in the 15th century.
And I think this is good, because I think we are not all the same, and we're not cookie cutter. You know, I'm not a cookie cutter person. I like to be outside the box, different things. And I think sometimes we just have to, we are told, stay within the lines. You mm-hmm. know, if you're having a problem, either don't talk about it, suppress it, don't deal with it, or just go see the doctor, you know, and then that's it. So a lot of times people's minds are closed, I think, to alternative forms of getting help or getting healing. And so I think this is very, very good. But once again, I think it's something that it's kind of swept under the rug. We don't talk about, mm-hmm. you know, we have issues, we have problems. And so for you, Charlene, what does your type of healing involve? Like, what do you, you know, in relation to this?
So that's a really good question. Thank you for asking. And I want to just, before I answer that question, I wanted to talk a little bit about mental health.
Okay, yes.
And the way that we talk about it in this country. So there's Western medicine and mental health, if you look in academia and in the Western way of looking at things. In curanderismo and traditional healing, we talk about the mind, body, and spirit, so they're all one together. So you can't support one without the other. So we're whole, right? We are whole, and there is no substitution for the human experience. I tell that to folks all the time. So if we're only working on one piece and we're not working on the other, we're not aligned. And so in looking at mental health, I am not a mental health practitioner. What I do is that I talk to people. I will do a plática with them. I also work with herbs. I work with lavender.
I'm sorry, real quickly, and I'm so sorry to interrupt you. What is a plática?
So plática is it's a heart-to-heart.
Okay.
It's a heart-to-heart talk.
Nice.
So people come to me. So people will call me or I'll get referrals. I also know that depending on what people need, I refer out to other healers. Okay. And I will share. So I somewhat kind of triage people. Mm-hmm. And if folks in the community have that specialty or will talk to people and who have that experience, then I'll send them to other folks as well. So they're in traditional healing, there is no competition. There's a lot that we can help each other and support each other. And so we work together. In fact, we have healing circles for the event, and there are local healers in addition to Dr. Cario, who will be facilitating those healing circles. And these are my sisters. These are my hermanas, and that we work together. And so there's no competition. We've got lots of work out there.
If I might make just one, mm-hmm. reinforce one point, that in Western psychiatry, Western psychology, they do not deal with the spirit. That is the major distinction between curanderismo and traditional healing. If you go to a psychiatrist and you tell them you're having spiritual problems, they'll either fill you full of medication, antipsychotic medication, or thinking you're delusional or paranoid or having an episode, or they'll send you to a person of the cloth. Mm-hmm. They will not deal with the spirit, and that's a grave difference between the two systems that Deanna was able to mm-hmm. introduce into the clinic with top-notch psychiatrists who eventually got the picture, and they began to support her work at that time in the 19, well, she did it for over 25 years there at El Centro de las Familias, which is part of a larger mental health corporation system in Denver.
How does this relate, or, you know, dealing with the violence in educational institutions, where does that come up as well?
Well, let's look back at what's happened in some of the colleges and universities, people that are being massacred mm-hmm. there. And sometimes it's a no-no. People don't want to have that open dialogue and conversation about those kinds of things. We're hoping that this opens the door, because Carrillo, he works in domestic violence, works with gangs, mm-hmm. and can openly talk about what's happening in those communities, that many times people come into systems, big systems and complex universities, where they might still be carrying some of those wounded spirits. Mm-hmm. One of the distinctions, again, is that when they talk to somebody, they ask them, what happened to you? Tell me your mm-hmm. story. They don't want to give a label mm-hmm. to them and call them bipolar, schizophrenic, mm-hmm. manic, depressive, aggressive personality disorder. They say, what happened to you? And listen to the story and try to uncover the times when people had trauma, that they didn't deal with it, they buried it, and they help them bring it out and say, how can we ameliorate this trauma that you're carrying? And that's the kind of work that I did with Deanna, was having people talk about those things in their life that they've never, ever had anybody ask them.
Because it's so taboo. You don't talk about that. There was that generation that they did not talk about any type of abuse or the trauma or things that had happened, and it's all just swept under the rug. And I think a lot of times, this is just my personal opinion, but I feel like a lot of times we don't want to talk about things. We just want to disassociate with them or, you know, and not acknowledge them. So I like the fact that things are being brought to the surface and to the forefront and not being afraid, I feel like, to speak up and say something.
Could you imagine how powerful our health system would be if we had Western medicine and traditional medicine weave together and help communities? Not only, we know that in Mexico there are cases where folks do that right now, and it's less expensive. So we'd like to make sure that they're woven in together, both traditional medicine and Western medicine. Healers are not medical people, right? Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of information and practice our ways, but we want to work in conjunction with Western medicine. We also don't say do either or. We're asking, let's do both, and why not?
That's exactly what Deanna did, was blend the two together to build the bridge. And she had case consultations at the time with top-notch psychiatrists about what to do. She became well-known in the area, and then she left us several years ago. But we did some research on her that is now becoming, people are starting to read that. The other piece is what the sister talked about, Sister Charlene, was one, we both know, and you probably have had more interaction with Dr. Arturo Ornelas, who runs the Curanderismo Institute in Cuernavaca.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had, at New Mexico University, Dr. Cheo Torres teaches a class in curanderismo, and in the summer, people go there for up to 10 days, and he invites healers from all over Mexico and Latin America to come in. We brought them all to Denver, and the sister set up clinics and workshops with university people who are willing to listen to, well, what is it that you are offering, which I thought was phenomenal. I had a chance to talk to him on his journey in setting up the institute. Same with Chael. So we're really saying to the system, look, we have something to offer. Why can't you listen and work with us instead of immediately derogating it and making it seem like it's not worthy of participation in a Western psychiatric mode or model or module. Modality? Yeah.
Now, this event, once again, it's going to be on Wednesday, October 23rd. It's free and open to the public. It's going to be at St. Cajetan's Event Center. So we've got a few different things happening. We've got an opening blessing, a danza, and drummer. So what is the danza and the drummers, or the danza especially? What is that?
So danza is part of our healing modalities, right? It is. So you will see Aztec dancers either opening or what they call, quote unquote, performing in communities, but it's actually prayer. Okay. So they're opening up and they're asking for permission, and they're laying a good prayer down for events or where they're at. And so we're asking, we're also going to have the opening, and it's going to be Grupo Tlaloc. They're local. They're from Colorado, and they will be opening up. And then the second part of the opening ceremony will be a Native American dance, a drumming group, and so they'll do the same. They come and they'll sing songs, and they set a prayer down for us for the day.
In one of the prayers, they summon the wisdom keepers, our ancestors, our antepasados, to come in and be with us, to give us the wisdom to make good decisions and to talk to each other and to try to resolve some of these issues in the community. So that is very spiritual, to call upon people that have left us or in another existence to be with us for that day. So that's at least one of the things that they always do every time they come to the university and perform.
Now, we also have talking circles with traditional healers.
Yeah, what we did is we were trying to do it in a traditional sense, and that is have people participate as much as possible. So we have Charlene Marientos Ortiz, Charlene, and she's going to be working with Christina Cigada in facilitating the group. Dr. Lisa Grayshield, Native American from New Mexico, is coming to be with us, who is becoming a medicine woman, but also a clinical psychologist, is going to be here. Dr. Ricardo Carrillo, and we have
Natalie Cruz from Strawberry Moon,
who is a native, familiar with a lot of systems of healing. So we're going to allow students to spend time with them in small circles, and then we're going to bring it into a bigger, larger circle and have talk about is what is it that you learned? What is it that you learned? And what can we do? What are the next moves to kind of begin a process of beginning to make people more aware of that kind of medicine that exists in our communities? So that's what these talking circles are about, and they're with the traditional healers. I think that's the fascinating thing about it, is that they agree to all come in and be together as a community and share their medicine.
Great. Now, if you're listening to this and you'd like more information or you want to go to the event, you can visit msudenver.edu/castro. And is there any other, Dr. Del Castillo, any other way, or Charlene, any other way?
If I might,
yes.
Let me mention that this is the annual Richard T. Castro Distinguished Visiting Professorship that is putting this on. We've been doing it about 19 or 20 years. Richard was an activist, a legislator, politician, just a community organizer, and he died at a fairly young age. And so several years ago, before I came to teach full-time in the Chicano Studies Department, they decided to have a visiting professorship, and he was selected as the person that would be the person that was honored. And so again, we've been doing it for almost two decades. Okay. And so it's on behalf of Richard T. Castro. His widow, Virginia Castro, will be there, mm-hmm. and we'll be doing an introduction about the work that he did and why we're honoring his legacy.
And also, too, I know we talked about the blessing danza, the talking circles, but from 5:30 to 7:30, there's going to be a community reception. What is that for anybody just to come in, or how? What is that about?
It's kind of putting closure on the day.
Okay.
And to honor Dr. Ricardo Carrillo, there's going to be music and food. And he has recently edited a book that is going to be for sale there on different forms of Aztec and traditional healing. Cultura y Bienestar, Culture and Well-Being is the name of it. It's about Mesoamerican healing systems, and I had the distinct privilege of being asked to submit a chapter. So my chapter is on the woman that I studied with, on Diana Velázquez, but there's other really awesome kinds of work that people are doing that we need to share.
Mm-hmm.
It's called evidence-based practice, meaning that we know what works for us, but it hasn't gone through the rigorous research process that purportedly Western psychology goes through. So we're in the process of building a legacy and a history here, mm-hmm. and we know that in Western society, the written word is important. So now we're having our scholars and our practitioners as well write their stories, and now we're publishing books on them. So I think that's a critical piece, particularly since I'm an educator.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, great. Well, if you want more information, like I said, you can go to msudenver.edu/castro. There will be links on the website as well. And I'd like to say, Dr. Del Castillo, Charlene, thank you both so much for being here today and for shedding some light on this. And please, everyone, whoever's listening, make sure you can get down to the Arari campus on Wednesday, October 23rd. The day will start at 9:30 in the morning. So please make sure you can be there.
Thank you.
Thank you.